Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey, what's going on? We are talking right now with John Gallagher from a band called Raven. They are going to be playing a couple shows here in the Northwest, actually. Monday, October 3rd in Everett, Tony V's. Thursday, October 6th in Tacoma at Alma. Great venue. How are you doing, man? Where are you right now?
Right now, we are in Phoenix, Arizona.
Sweating your balls off, huh?
Oh, you wouldn't know. Yeah, it's just god-awful. But well, it's all training for the tonight show, which of course will be is about as hot. So that's all good.
How's things been, man? I mean, is this your first tour back in the States after, you know, a couple of years of craziness?
No, actually, we did tour last year. Mm. We did a tour, a good 40-50 day tour, roughly a year ago, and it was interesting because we were probably one of the first out there doing it.
Yeah.
And people were just so happy to come out and see a show. And, you know, being the pain in the ass rebels we are, we weren't doing the bubble and we weren't wearing the stupid masks because let's not even get into it. But people were very happy to be out there. And it was very strange then because an awful lot of places were closed.
Mm-hmm.
Finish show and go, oh, let's go get a bite to eat, and there was nowhere open because, of course, you know, they'd given people free money, so nobody was working. Very odd.
Well,
but we had a good time regardless. That was
yeah. Cool. So you're back, and the world seems to be a bit more open these days, and you know, a lot of places are open, and there's no, you know, mandates or anything. So you're
exactly. It's close, as near as damage
yeah.
to what it should be, yeah.
Right on, man. Well, you guys made some news this week, and that's something that is really crazy. Sunday, November 6th, your guys are going to be playing down in Florida at the Hard Rock Hotel, a Hard Rock venue with Metallica to celebrate Johnny and Marsha Zazula from Megaforce Records. So, you know, tell me a little bit about what this means to you, man, and what Johnny and Marsha meant to you in your legacy as a band.
Well, Johnny and Marsha were, you know, huge figures in all. They changed our lives, and they changed the lives of many other people, Metallica included.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know how this kind of came about, but we were actually up at Metallica HQ about a month ago.
Awesome.
And we're filming a conversation between myself, my brother, and James.
Yeah.
Just talking, you know, for a future release, talking about next year's anniversaries, their first album, mm-hmm. our third album, and the Kill 'Em All for One tour. And just reminiscing and going over a whole bunch of stuff. And at the end, I said, well, you know, if you've ever have any opening spaces for a little band from Newcastle, England, you know, let us know.
Yeah.
And he just said, I'll keep you posted. And then, boom, it happened. And it is for a good cause, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's a good celebration of John and Marsha since, you know, they're instrumental in getting both us and Metallica and getting us off the ground here in the States, but getting Metallica off the ground in total, as it were.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're doing an old school set. We're currently out doing an old school set. We're doing the entirety of our Wiped Out album.
Yeah.
So we'll mix it up. We'll have a bit of everything. Because John was a huge fan of our most recent album, Metal City.
That's
he loved
awesome.
It. He thought it was like the best thing we'd ever done. So we'll definitely be playing a couple of tunes from that in their honor.
That's great, man. Well, you know, congratulations on this, and it, like you said, it's for a good cause, a good reason. How long did you know about this before you had to kind of keep it on? How long did you have to keep it under wraps?
A couple of weeks.
Okay, so it wasn't too bad.
It was
okay.
Let's just not see anything because we're in this. Until it happens.
totally. Yeah, don't jinx it because it might. You know, you never know.
Do not. That's
absolutely. So you know, being back on the road, I was curious about, you know, when, you know, back when in 2020 when everything hit, and you got, and there was the lockdown and everything. How did you stay sane, man? How did you stay occupied, and how did you stay sane?
I was at my girlfriend's in England, so the lockdown was pretty harsh there. Absolutely nothing open whatsoever. Yeah. I did a little video for me playing this to my friend Tony Dolan, who plays with Venom Inc. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's really cool, because I showed him the other things that particular instrument could do. He says, you should do loads of them. I'm like, So I started doing a little bass video every day, and I did 365 of them in a row. Every day I'd play whatever, cover tunes, crazy improvisation, noisy stuff, quiet stuff, show tunes, TV themes, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything. Just sort of like, you know, this is what the bass can do. And people loved it, and it was, a little fixture for them for quite a while. And yeah, it helped keep me sane. It was one of the things that and write material was what I was up to. And we had the album ready to come out, so we shot a video for the song Metal City of me walking around Newcastle, which was quite easy since nobody was about.
Yep. So, well, you know, so you guys had this album come out during the pandemic. So it's kind of, you know, it's been 2 years, but it's still kind of new because you weren't able to really fully, you know, do like a rollout. So Metal City is out
we
did now.
We would have done a European tour to start with that. And of course, the couple of bands we wanted weren't able to commit. And we're like, well, let's postpone. And then all of a sudden the pandemic hit and we were just like, to put it out in September and see what happens. And of course, nothing changed. It just got worse.
Yeah.
But since there was no live music, people were checking out recorded music more. And it was really good for us. A lot of people loved the record. A lot of people got to hear it. And it was probably the best reviewed. And the fans, too. Like the best accepted record we've done in forever. So we set the bar high for the next studio album, which is in the can and will be out in May of next year.
Okay, so that was something you were working on during the pandemic, was the new material, the writing, right?
Getting the writing together for that. And since we're leaving our, you know, the record company and moving on, the new album will be with Silver Lining.
Nice.
SPV's put out, it's going to be a compilation coming out on the 30th of September called Leave Them Bleeding. Mm-hmm. And it's got, it's kind of like the greatest hits, plus it's got stuff off the last two or three albums, plus all the extra tracks, all the Japanese, Outer Mongolia, Rings of Saturn, all the extra tracks that people would have had to really dig hard to find.
Wow.
Plus a live version of Stay Hard, recorded back in 2017, which we unearthed and going, oh, this is good. Add that mix, it sounds phenomenal.
Nice.
So it's a great little collection, and that'll just keep the pot boiling until the new album comes out in May.
Right on, man. Well, you know, this, you know, you guys are road dogs, you guys are road tested, you guys have been, you guys are, you know, a band that you could rest on your laurels and just be a legacy act, but you guys are continuing to push the boundaries. And like you said, your 2020 album have like great reviews. What keeps you motivated stay out there and continue to write killer music?
I think we've got a responsibility to ourselves and our fans to do that. It would, like you said, it would be very easy, and a lot of bands do, just say, it's, you know, let's rehash the first few albums till the end of time and just go out and do that. That would be, you know, that would be cheating ourselves and our fans.
Mm-hmm.
We're creative. We write a lot of material. I mean, the last few albums, the new one included, each song, there was a pool of like 30 songs. And so, yeah, sometimes they get bumped onto the next one, and sometimes they get bumped off the shelf altogether. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're writing all the time. So it's, you know, all killer, no filler, cream of the crop.
Nice.
And that's you know, we work very hard at that portion of it, keeping that, the integrity of that. So you have an album that really stands up. But I mean, like you said, we do have a legacy, and mm-hmm. we do have to, you know, we do have to try and beat everything we've done every
yeah.
time. But that's what it's all about. That's the fun part, you know.
Yeah. Right on, man. Well, you know, thinking back to like your beginning, you know, what got you into music? What got you motivated to pick up a bass, to pick up an instrument?
It was always peripheral. I remember hearing great songs on the radio. And then as kids, there was a TV show in England called Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
Which, you know, kind of like the English version of American Bandstand mm-hmm. or what have you. They would have acts on there. And, you know, the late 60s, all the stuff went into your head. You saw Hendrix, you saw Jeff Rotol and Cream and Curved Air and Atomic Rooster and all these outlandish bands that were a little on the noisy spectrum, you know?
Yeah.
And then the glam thing happened, mm-hmm. which was just as loud as obnoxious, but had, you know, like more accessible songs. So you had Slade and Status Quo and T-Rex and all that, and we loved that. So as kids, we got to see Slade with the sensational Alex Harvey Band opening, and that changed our lives. I was like, I want to do that. So, you know, the following year, my brother and the guy down the street, Paul Bowden, came up and said, we're going to form a band, and you're going to play the bass.
Yeah.
And we had no clue, no instruments, no nothing, but we figured it out.
Were you guys kind of playing that kind of glam style when you first started?
No, we were always listening to, you know, the stuff we liked, and then it was, yeah, you need to check this out. You need to check this
yeah.
out. You know, friends and older siblings and what mm-hmm. have you. So, you know, Budgie, Led Zeppelin, Judas Priest, you name it. UFO.
Yeah.
I camped out in the snow to get tickets for Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow, 1976.
That's awesome.
That was our education, seeing all these bands. So we gravitated towards the harder and faster stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we started writing, and, you know, eventually it distilled down to what the all bastardized cocktail of this kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So when it was Deep Purple, it was Highway Star. And when it was Montrose, it was Space Station Number 5.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And we just, from the get-go, we were always writing our own material. And then one day we were playing a show. You know, we were a four-piece for many years, and we went to a three-piece. And a local band called the Tigers of Pantang had put out a single on this indie label, Neat Records.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager came up and said, do you want to do a single? And we're like, yes, we do.
Yeah.
After thinking for half a second, so we did it, and boom, everything changed.
That's great, man. So, you know, that's the beginning, and you know, what do you think has been like? You know, has there been a pinch me moment during this that you can kind of recall? Was there ever like, what was your first pinch me moment?
Many, 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 many.
You remember that
I remember holding our single in our hands.
Yes.
Holding your first album, seeing your first album go on the charts.
Yeah.
Many, many. Going to Europe for the first time.
Yep.
Playing the big hall in our hometown for the first time. Going to America for the first time.
Yeah.
And there's still lots of those pinch me moments.
Yep. Yeah.
Big. We have a very long bucket list, and we're ticking it off bit by bit.
That's awesome. Well, man, I look forward to, you know, there's two dates here, Monday, October 3rd at Tony V's in Everett. If you want to go down south, there's one in Tacoma, Thursday, October 6th. That's next week in Alma at the Alma Mater in Tacoma. But before I let you go, John, if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got the scar, John.
I have a scar on my chest, on the left side of my chest. We were playing on the Stay Hard Tour. Mm-hmm. We had this rather psychotic pyrotechnician called Onwin Primus Board,
okay,
who looked like a wild African tribesman but spoke like Roger Moore. He had a famously errant sense of timing. So I'm standing, and 10 minutes or so before went off one of these fireworks, like a Roman candle went off and scorched me from end to end. So, yeah, I remember that one.
Damn, that's gnarly. Well, a pyrotechnics be damned, dude. I'm looking forward to seeing you again Monday, October 3rd at Tony V's in Everett, Thursday, October 6th in Tacoma. Any final words for the Northwest audience and KISW, John?
Come out and see us. We're going to give you a kick-ass show. We're doing the Wiped Out album from start to finish and a selection of bumper hits on the other side, and we're basically just going to go eat. So come in and join us.
Right on, man. We will go eat with you as well. Thanks, man.
You got it, man. Take care.
Yep, take it easy. Cheers. Bye.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.